Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
Kayla Itzinas. I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello and welcome to Top Stories. I am Andy Zaltzman, rummaging around in the archives of the Bugle podcast to tell you the big news in the world years after it first happened and we first reported on it. In June 2011, there was some good news for the world. A posse of Japanese pensioners were coming to our rescue, showing true heroism in the face of inevitable death. This is from Bugle issue 156, featuring me and John Oliver.
Top story this week, Andy, I don't know what the top story is. I'm woefully underprepared for this Bugle.
It's the coffee getting you through it, John.
The coffee's keeping me awake,
right?
But it's not really affecting anything beyond my eyelids.
I guess, I mean, we could... have you been watching the Mladic trial?
No, Andy, I've been watching the back of a bus disappearing in the distance.
Did you not ask Palin what her money was on for the Mladic trial?
I didn't. I should have.
I do have the latest odds for the Mladic trial. Not guilty has drifted slightly to 250-1. Guilty is 2-1. Unmasked as Tom Hanks, 6-1. Broken out as a prank on a TV game show, 10-1. And pulls a fatal sickie is 6-1 on favourite. It's always your go-to option in that circumstance, isn't it? He's already said he's a dangerously sick man. But anyway, the other top story this week is old people saving the world. A group of 200 Japanese pensioners have volunteered to tackle the ongoing crisis at the Fukushima nuclear power station. They have claimed that they, being old and nearly dead, should be facing the dangers of radiation, not young people. This is John...
Wow.
It's an inspiring story.
That is one of those stories, Andy, that instantly makes you feel like a selfish piece of shit.
Yeah, but I'm a selfish piece of shit in my mid-30s, so that's entirely justified.
Okay.
I could have done with these guys. It's led by the Skilled Veterans Corps. It's led by retired engineer Yasuteru Yamada, who is coming out of retirement like the Michael Jordan of nuclear power plants that he is. And... bringing some of his old buddies with him. I could certainly have done with him. This man is clearly unafraid of death. I could have done with him that gig I did at the Manchester Comedy Store all those years ago. This would have been nice if someone a bit older and less sensitive had taken that punishment. But he said, I'm 72, and on average, I probably have 13 to 15 years left to live. Even if I were exposed to radiation, cancer could take 20 or 30 years or longer to develop. Therefore, us older ones have less chance of getting cancer. That's pretty gung-ho, John. And this could be the start of something very, very special indeed. Let's hope these old people don't stop at nuclear power crises. We are facing a pensions crisis around the world. Will Mr. Yamada's heroism inspire his fellow codgers and codgerettes to think, young people need my money more than I do. I'm going to do my bit for the world and smother myself with a pillow. I'll go so far as to say that all high-risk jobs, military, emergency services... catching sharks for aquariums should be done by people very much on the down escalator of life with nothing much to live for, who would probably appreciate the opportunity to get out of their nursing homes and have a bit of excitement in their lives.
It really is an incredible gesture, Andy, but the problem is there must be other 70-year-old Japanese men saying, yeah, that sounds tremendous, Yasuteru, and the numbers certainly do look watertight, but you know what? I'm not f***ing going in there! And I don't want to explain why. I'm not f***ing going in there. For weeks now, apparently, Mr. Yamada has been getting back in touch with old friends, sending out emails and even messages on Twitter. And that's got to be a tough email to receive. Hey, Yasuteru, great to hear from you after all these years. You want me to what now? You want me to go with you into the radioactive Fukushima nuclear reactors? Sure. Or do you know, we could just meet up for a coffee and catch up that way. I bet anyone who met him in life is now frantically either claiming that they're having trouble with their email or changing their addresses entirely and shutting down their Facebook pages.
Well, I want to know, John, where was this spirit in World War One? Why do we waste the flower of youth in the battle for control of some mud in France when old people would have been just as adept at walking slowly towards machine guns and being mown down out of their prime? Surely that would have been a much more efficient use of resources.
I was just reading now. He said that it was while Mr. Yamada was watching television news that he decided it was time for his generation to stand up. And some of the older members of his generation in Japan actually stood up before when they were much younger men. But the less said about that, the better, Andy. Look, he's volunteering to take the place of younger workers, he said, is not brave, but logical. And that's exactly the kind of thing that a superhero would say. Oh, hold on, it says down here, he says he's laughed off suggestions that his proposed team is comparable to the kamikaze pilots who flew suicide missions in World War II, saying, "We are not kamikaze. The kamikaze was something strange. No risk management there. They were going to die, but we're going to come back. We have to work, but never die." Well, Andy, there's another key difference there as well, and one that I might have led with before that, and that is that they're not trying to kill anyone. In fact, they're literally trying to do the opposite.
And probably going in at a slightly lower velocity as well, I hope. Maybe he's just going to ride a Zimmer frame as hard as he can into the side of the reactor, try and finish it off. Economics news now, and a report has said that Britain's parks, lakes and forests are worth billions of pounds to the economy. The health benefits of just living close to some green space could be worth up to £300 per person per year.
But how much, Andy, would it be worth if you concreted over it and built stuff on it? Probably even more.
Well, this is the thing, John. And for a start, it is a sad thing for humanity that the only way we can now understand the value of the countryside is by putting a personal financial value on it.
Float it on the stock market. Let the market decide, Andy.
Yeah.
The countryside's value crashed down today.
But I never thought much about it, because, yeah, as you said, I always thought it would be much more useful if concrete over, better not just for the economy, but also for the environment, John, because there was a report a little while ago that said that it's actually more environmentally friendly to live in a city than in the countryside, where you have to drive more and drive further, use more heating and burn more witches. So the upshot of that is that we should concrete over the entire countryside for the good of the environment, which is one of the quirky anomalies that modern life throws up every now and again. But I want to know, how do they quantify this £300 a year of value? I mean, what is it kind of spiritual value? I mean, what is the financial equivalent of the joy gained by seeing a squirrel eat a nut? I'd say a maximum of £1. I wouldn't. Maybe if it falls off a branch while trying to eat it, £1.50. The smell of freshly cut grass in the spring, £8.99, John. I'd say that is worth the same as a reasonable paperback book. A bit like John Grisham's latest Denzel Washington, Bulgar Slayer, a semi-fictional thriller based on the multi-award-winning actor's lost years as a gangster in Sofia. Or Cheryl Cole's somewhat unexpected journey into high-level scientific research, submolecular protein structures. And as for the gentle sound of leather on willow, the easy, relaxing rhythm of a cricket match, I'd say that's worth £90, John.
Wow.
And that is also what Lord's Cricket Ground thinks it's worth. That's what it's going to cost me to go and see a day's play of England against India in July. And watching a dog bark at a postman, chase that postman across the village green, corner him in a bus shelter and tear him limb from limb, howling with bloodlust, priceless. Just me on that one. Sorry, not postman, Nazi. Nazi, that's it. And not dog, but lawyer. So, there you go. I mean, it's so hard to put financial values on things. I love my wife, John.
Yeah.
I'd say she's worth a good £38 a day to me. That's how much I love her. Just hanging out with her is the equivalent of, to me, of going to the cinema, having a couple of pints in the pub, and then a takeaway pizza. That's, I mean, that That's really as much as a man can love a woman, isn't it?
You need to explain to her, Andy, that that's nicer than it sounds. And you need to put it better than that.
Oh, we've been married nearly 7 years, John. Yeah, I think she knows where we stand. Now, on current form, I've got about 3 weeks before she gets round to listening to this bugle. So I'm going to have to make some contingency plans.
Thank you for listening to this classic bugle clip. Now go to listen to the latest bugle in your pod feed right now.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hi, it's producer Chris from The Bugle here. Did you know that I have a new series of my podcast, Richie Firth Travel Hacker, out now? It's the show where Richie Firth and I talk about how to make travel better in our very special way. In this series, we discuss Lime bikes, Teslas, the London Overground, and a whole bunch of other random stuff that possibly involves wheels or tracks or engines of some variety. God, what a hot sell this is. I mean, you must be so excited. Listen now.